Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
So today I want to speak to you about arise, aka get up, get up, get up. Amen. Get up, get up, get up. Wait, I have to tell this story on my grandson because it just cracks me up. So he's about to be nine. He's eight. And he sent my daughter sent a video. I should have given it to show on the screen, but I didn't. And he says, in the beginning of it, he says, his mom is filming, and she said, "What did you learn?" And he said, "Well, I memorized Plesms 23 and Plesms 100. And she said, "You mean Psalms?" He said, "Okay, a.k.a. Psalms." It's so cute. If you want to see it, I'll show it to you because, you know, it's my grandbaby. I think it's hilarious. But anyway, so a.k.a. has been on my brain a lot lately, but that's why that's in there. But to arise, Psalm 68:1 says, "Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered." You know, Tim and I, when we were talking about this message and just going over the concepts and stuff, it's an interesting thing about the enemy. Like sometimes, and in fact, when I first wrote this message, in my mind, the enemy was defeated and dead, right? Gone. But so many times, the enemies are just scattered, right? They're not with you anymore. They're not gone. In fact, the devil's not going to be gone until God puts him into hell for the final, right? So a lot of times, and this is what this message is about today, you're facing enemies. And God will defeat them. Doesn't mean they're gone forever. So don't get a misconception in your mind that once you defeat the enemy that he doesn't come back. That's just the way life is. He comes back. But I do believe today that we're going to let God arise. And the enemies that are plaguing us right now are going to scatter. They're going to scatter. They're going to go to the four winds. So I have a question, though. It says, let God arise and his enemies be scattered. What is it about arising that makes the enemies fearful? Right? There's something about that word, arise. It's to me, it feels like that the Lord's just standing up in all of his power and might, right? Squaring his shoulders, showing how big he is. That's what makes the enemies scatter. But when I began to study this word arise, I noticed a few things. First of all, that standing up to your full stature, arising, that's important if you want to see your enemy scattered. Also, if you're going to walk, you first have to arise, right? I mean, these are no duh things. A lot of times when you arise, you don't just arise to stand up, but you arise to go to a different place. And in the physical, you know, it's easy, right? I want my coffee that's on the kitchen counter. So I arise. I get up, get up, get up, and I go over and get my coffee. Like, it's just something you do without thinking. But the Bible is full of stories where people walked, they moved from one place to the next, they changed positions, but it doesn't always use that word, arise. So I feel like that word arise has some significance. I feel like it means more than just you got up, but it's you're actually arising in your spirit. You're standing up against whatever it is, and you're making a choice to do something. We're going to look at a few Bible stories here about that. Arising is more than just an everyday thing. Today, I think God wants to arise to his full stature. And the way he does that is when we let him be that in our lives. When we declare that that's who he is, that's when he can do that. He also wants for us to arise in the spirit to take on whatever we're facing with confidence. God told Abraham, the father of the faithful, in Genesis 13:17, "Arise, walk about the land through its length and breadth, for I will give it to you." Now, God could have just said, Abraham walk about the land. That would have had the same effect, right? He didn't have to say arise and walk about the land. I mean, obviously, Abraham knew if he was going to walk, he had to arise first. But in the verses previous to that, and the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest, to thee I will give it and to thy seed forever. So God's already promised him the land. He's already seen it. But there's something that Abram needs to do. He needs to arise and walk. Abraham obviously knew that if he was going to a walk, he'd have to arise. But God is showing us that sometimes when God's given you a call, when God's given you a promise, it's not just enough to be nonchalant about how you walk around. But you have to do it with purpose. You have to arise in your spirit. You have to stand up on your own 2 feet with your shoulders squared and make that walk. It's a moment of time that we have to recognize when God's telling us, get up, get up, get up, right? We have to do it when God speaks. Let's look at Naomi. Naomi arose in Ruth 1, verses 6 and 7. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. Wherefore, she went forth out of the place where she was. Now, that seems like a lot. I feel like he could have just said that in a couple of words, right? Then Naomi left Moab and went to Bethlehem, right? But it's got a lot of phrases in there that I think are important to us. Why did it say out of the place where she was? I think it's emphasizing to us that sometimes when we arise, sometimes when God is calling us to arise, that it's accompanied with the call to leave the place where you are. It's tied into the idea of arise, that you leave behind where you are. It's a declaration of separating yourself from where you've been to where you're going. The prodigal said, I will arise and go to my father, right? When you come to the end of yourself and you find yourself in that pig pen, you have to understand that arising means getting up from where you're living. Not just going to the next pig pen, but getting up and leaving where you've been and going to someplace new. Taking responsibility. Now, Naomi was facing, this was not a joyous time for her. She was facing just life and circumstances that were out of her control. But she arose. And I just, I'm wrestling with God about whether I should say this, but I just yesterday found out your guys' situation, and my heart is in limbo. I don't know what to feel. But when I was praying over this morning, I feel like this is kind of like what Naomi faced, right? It's not your choice. Circumstances have brought you to this place. But because you're going to arise in your spirits, and you're going to do what you have to do, God's going to be with you. God's going to keep you, and he's going to make it all like as it should be, whether that's a miracle on this side or a miracle on the other side. I believe that. I love you guys. But so Ruth wouldn't have been in the lineage of Jesus if Naomi hadn't moved from where she was to this new place, right? Ruth was named as in one of the Gospels as in the lineage of Jesus. So you may feel like things are out of control. But take heart, arise, and go with the understanding that God is orchestrating it all. Arising is just the first step. It's a step of faith. It's a realizing that God is with us, and it is time to act. We pursue promises. We pursue new places, just watching what God will unfold. Now, sometimes in our lives, there's desperate times, right, when we have to arise, when we have to get up, get up, get up. We have to make ourselves. We have to kick our own selves and get up. Do you know the story of the four lepers in Samaria? This is one of those circumstances. They were in a place of desperation. They were out of options. The Syrian army had sieged the city of Samaria. Now, I don't know if you know what that means. That's a military term. But basically what it means is they if they couldn't penetrate the walls of the city, they would camp out around the city and not let any provisions in, not let anything out until the people inside the city were starving and would surrender. The enemy still uses that tactic on us because there's sometimes he'll come against us. He can't get through the walls, but he'll begin to work on our minds so that we stop feeding on the Word of God. We stop drinking from the Spirit, and we end up giving up in ourselves to the enemy because we've cut off that supply from the Lord. Still a tactic of the enemy. So the Word and the Spirit are important, especially when you're under attack. Sometimes that's the hardest time, right, to pray and the hardest time to get in the Word, but it's the most vital time. Discipline. Make it a discipline that you get in the Word, especially when you're facing just terrible things. So let's get back to Samaria. So Samaria is where God's people are. It's overrun with famine. The people are starving to the point that they're eating donkey heads, dove droppings, and even cannibalism. Now listen, I love to eat, and I have been really hungry at times, but I don't think I've ever been that hungry. I don't know. Ooh, that's something. But have you ever considered that this story probably wouldn't have been even written in the scripture if it hadn't been because of the dire circumstances, right? Sometimes we feel like we just want things to go smoothly all the time, but it's those moments of desperation that we have with God that really define our stories for us a lot of times. Are you frustrated? Have you ever felt frustrated because the situations that you're facing keep getting more and more desperate? You're praying with everything you have, and then it just seems like it gets worse. But sometimes that's the perfect opportunity for God to do a miracle. He needs you to feel that desperation. Otherwise, you wouldn't pray the prayers that you're praying. So don't get discouraged if you feel that way. Just lean into it. Lean into prayer. Lean into the Word. But before we get too far into the story, I want to give you the backstory of this because God is a God of strategy. The only way I know this is in terms of people that con other people. He's in for the long con, but he's not conning you. What would you say? He's in for the long haul, I guess. I don't know, but he sees the beginning from the end. He's way so many steps ahead of us that he's strategizing. So let's look at the backstory. The king of Syria, before he ever besieged Samaria, kept trying to make military moves against the people of God. And every time he would have a strategic move, the Israelites seemed to know about it before, and they would thwart the plans of the enemy, right? So much so that the king of Syria thought that he had a spy in the Syrian army. He was convinced that there's somebody giving up information. But it wasn't. There was a prophet of God named Elisha, and God would speak to Elisha what the plans of the enemy were, and Elisha would tell the king of Israel, and they would be able to thwart the plans of the enemy. Many times when God speaks to people of God in your life, leaders, prophets, sometimes even your peers, to take a certain action, it's not just another good church. It's not just another good church Sunday. It's not just another feel good that you take home for the afternoon and then forget about it. But it's for you to take a certain action because those actions are going to thwart the plans that the enemy had for you. But if you hear that word and you just sit on it, you don't arise, then the enemy's going to be able to come in and have his way. So be sure that the word of God that you receive is biblical. It's from a source that you trust. And then go forward. Go forward in your understanding of what God's calling you to. So when the Syrian king was told that it was Elisha, the prophet, and not a spy, he had his counselors find out where the prophet lived. So a host of the Syrian army encircled Dothan. That's where Elisha lived. It's important here that you notice that the Syrian army sent a host. That's like one band of the army. It's not like the entire army. It's just one host of the army. And they encircled Dothan, and they were going to capture the one man. They're going to capture the prophet. 2 Kings 6, 14 through 17 says, therefore he, talking about the king of Syria, sent thither horses, chariots, and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early. So this is a servant of Elisha's. When he was risen early, he saw the host of the army and said to Elisha, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he, Elisha, answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Right, we know this scripture, and we say it a lot, but we need our eyes opened to really see that and believe that. How many times have we gotten a word from the Lord, and it feels good, and yeah, I believe that, and then just a short situation later, we've lost sight of it. We've lost sight of what the Lord was showing us. We can only see what's in front of us. And I'm preaching to myself here right now. We're sometimes be so physically, earthly minded that we need our eyes opened to the Spirit. So Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. I mean, that's a great vision. I'm praying, God, give me visions. I've not had very many, maybe one or two in my whole walk with God, but I'm asking him now in this era that we live in, right, in this time right before the coming of the Lord, that he opens my eyes to see more spiritually, gives me visions. You can be sure God is never, ever outnumbered. We just need our eyes opened. It's there. We just need to be able to see it. So I'm praying that for myself today, and I'm praying that for each of you today. Because if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. But here's where the story gets a little strange, okay? You would think, with all that army host, right, if God showed us that, we would think, okay, it's time for this host of army that God has, his angels, to defeat the enemy and to annihilate them or to scatter them or whatever he's going to do. But that's not what happened. That's not what happened. So be prepared when God opens your eyes that it may not end up like you think it should. It may not happen like you're expecting. Rest assured, though, God has a bigger picture in mind. Instead of the mighty army defeating the host of the enemy, God blinded them. He blinded the enemy. It's kind of interesting because he opened the eyes of the servant and he blinded the eyes of the enemy. Now the host was at the mercy of Elijah, the Syrian host. So the prophet Elisha led them to Samaria. All right, led them to Samaria, and the king of Samaria wanted to kill them. But God told Elisha not to kill them, but to feed them. What? 2 Kings 6:23 says, and he prepared great provision for them, and when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. That's just so strange to me. It doesn't fall into the ways that I want God to perform for me. I mean, that's a terrible way to say that, but you know what I'm saying. It doesn't fall in line with my thoughts. But they were humiliated. I think that was probably the end result, right, as they were humiliated. But why didn't the host eradicate them right there? Why didn't he scatter them right there so that they would never come against Samaria? We just don't know it all. God has bigger plans. You may not understand why God doesn't eradicate every enemy, but you can trust that he has bigger plans. Now, the last part of 2 Kings 6:24 says that the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. But the very next verse says, and it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. Now, there's some speculations about this, right? It came to pass could mean that enough time went by that they forgot the humiliation, or it could mean that it came to pass that the bands of Syria, they didn't come in hosts anymore. They didn't come with one band of the army, but the whole army came to Samaria. That's the backstory. This is what God was setting up. He was setting up so that the enemy was not just bringing a portion of the battle against him, but the whole army was coming against Samaria. So the whole entire army of the Syrians is around Samaria besieging it. God led them to this place through that weird situation of feeding the enemy and sending them back and, you know, walking through places that you're so confused, like, God, what are you doing? You know, I thought we had a plan here. I thought I saw that you're going to do and deliver me, and it's just not working out like I thought. But God's setting it up for a bigger victory. So now the entire army is camped around Samaria. That's the story that we're at here. 2 Kings 7:3-5. And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate. And they said one to another. So they're outside the city, right? You know the story of how lepers couldn't be in the city. They had to live outside the city. That's where the lepers are. And they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we will die there. If we sit here, we'll die also. Now therefore come and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. They're just going to give themselves up to the Syrians. If they save us alive, we're going to live. If they kill us, we shall but die. And they rose up in the twilight to go unto the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. These guys weren't saying, hey, I'm going to get up and go fight. They were saying, hey, well, I'm going to give up. I'm going to get up because if I don't get up, I'm going to die. I've got no other option but to get up and do something. So I love this part of the story because the Syrians were gone. Verse 6 and 7 tells us, for the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots, a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. That's that host that Elisha's servant saw that was more, right, than the other enemies. And so now the enemies, God had blinded their eyes, but now he has opened their ears. And they hear the sounds of God's army. And the Syrians said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us. He went to the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. So they arose and fled in the twilight. I don't know if you remember, but that's the same point that the lepers got up. They arose in the twilight. The Syrians left in the twilight. They've got to be connected. And they left their tents and their horses and their donkeys, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. So now these lepers get to the camp where the enemy was, and they have all these provisions. There's food. There's help. There's horses. There's everything, donkeys, everything that they would need to live, garments. So at the very moment that the lepers arose, I'm telling you this today because if you're in a desperate situation and all you feel like you can do is arise, all you feel like you can do is just get up and you have no idea what's in front of you. You feel like you maybe are just getting up to give up. But God has a defeat for you. The entire army, not just a host, the entire army. They're going to hear that noise of the mighty armies of God and they're going to flee. The moment that you get up, God sent confusion. God's setting up the whole thing to be a great victory for you. I feel that so strong in my spirit. Whatever you're facing, and it feels like your prayers are confused and you're not sure what God's doing, he's setting you up for a huge victory. Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. So we got to get up, get up, get up. We got to get up. In the next service, when my husband comes to speak and when this worship service goes, I want to encourage you. Let something rise up in your spirit. Let something, just say, you know what? I don't know. I don't have a game plan. I don't have a war plan. I don't know what to do, but I'm going to arise. And I am going to do whatever. Just that act of arising, that's what's going to get the attention of God. Amen. Amen. The same pattern of how God defeats the enemy is played out over and over again in Scripture. It's a supernatural work. You can't fix it on your own. You can't. There's many times, many things that I've been through that I could not fix myself. I didn't have it in me. I'm nothing. I'm just dust. But when I decided to arise and reach toward God, He does that supernatural work that only He can do. It's in His timing, His strategy. Now I've got one more Bible story to share with you, because I feel like a lot of us may not necessarily feel like we're in a desperate place. We don't necessarily feel like it's time for desperate measures. We don't feel the need to call for God to arise and scatter our enemies. But the timing of this last story is significant in this way. This is after the children of Israel had conquered Jericho, and they've gone into the promised land, and all the tribes have been fighting enemies and taking the land that God had promised them, right? But there were still portions of that land that God had promised them that they hadn't taken yet. There were still enemies in the land. There were still enemies that were coming after the people of God and possessing the land that belonged to them. Many of us are in this position. We've conquered the enemy in lots of ways. We know we haven't defeated them all, but, you know, feels pretty good where we are right now. I don't know that, you know, maybe we don't need more. Maybe we're fine right here. Maybe we don't need to pursue anything else. The hardest part of any job is the last 5%. Like you get so, you know, we laugh a little bit because Brother John says that good enough is like a cuss word. Like he hates when someone says, well, it's good enough. But as an artist, I feel like I have to do that at some times, right? You're working on a piece and you're like, okay, it's good enough. It's not that I'm giving up. When I say good enough, it's like, okay, I've done what I could. It's good enough. But sometimes that last part of getting past what Brother John's would sees good enough as, that like a failure, is that to finish excellent, to finish the job, to muster up the courage to do that last little bit. And this is where the children of God were. They had sufficient provisions. They probably had sufficient land. It wasn't like they necessarily needed more of it, but it was what God had promised them. It was part of what God had promised them. And the Bible says that in those days, there was a man named Sisera that arose. In this time of nearly defeat, the Israelites had nearly defeated everyone, a man named Sisera arose. Now, I heard on a Jewish podcast that Sisera, there were some, they called it hyperbolic descriptions of him, that he was so big and muscular that even his beard would, the fish would jump out of the river and just get caught in his beard because he was so muscular. He would scream and people would freeze. It kind of reminds me of those fainting goats, you know. I tried to find a reel to show you that, but I couldn't find one. You know, they scream and the goats freeze and they fall over. That's kind of how Sisera was perceived. He was 30 years old, and he had conquered so much of his enemies. He was a fearsome warrior, and he had 900 chariots. He was coming against the children of Israel. He was one of those remnants. You have to be careful that when God gives you a promise, you keep going until you see it all, because the remnants that are there can be really strong and mighty and have fish jumping in their, you know, beards and screaming at people and they fall over. So he was one of that remnant, but he was coming against an enemy. He was an enemy coming against the children of God. But the Bible says there arose a mother in Israel. There arose a mother in Israel, someone who was not okay with the remaining remnant of enemies. She was not okay with just enough. She was not okay with just being sustained. She arose not only to act as a judge in Israel, but to lead a charge in battle. Have any of y'all seen the, it just happened recently in, I think it's Parliament in New Zealand, the Maori. It's been on Reels. If you haven't seen it, you can Google it. But she stood up in Parliament and gave a war cry about, you know, whatever it is politically that she's against. I'm not saying anything politically here for or against. My point is she's not okay with what's happening in her political sphere. We have to get that. She rose, and it's a war cry, and I should have gotten the video. But they're all in it, and they're, like, giving their all, and they're just very vehemently protesting. That's what we have to do as children of God on these remnants. We have to rise up in our spirits and say, no, no, it's not good. I have a war cry in me that I'm going to take on this enemy. Amen. That's what Deborah did. That's what Deborah did. So when Sisera found out that Deborah had called them to war and that, I don't know how to say his name, Barak was going to fight. He had said, yes, I'm with you. Let's fight. When Sisera found that out, he called for all 900 of his iron chariots and all of his warriors, and they marched to the river for battle. That God does this over and over. He discomfits the enemy to the place that they're like, oh, okay, I'm all in. I'm going all after this because I feel like I have the ability to conquer this child of God. They're so weak and pitiful. So Sisera had all his army. Again, the enemy brought its whole army. I love that. The enemy's so sure of victory that he goes all in, and he has no idea what's facing him. Okay, so Deborah says, get ready. This is the day the Lord will give you victory over Sisera, for the Lord is marching ahead of you. And when Barak, the battle of general of Israel, attacked, the Lord threw Sisera and all his chariots into a panic. In the Song of Deborah, it describes the battle that even nature got involved in the fight. It says that the Kishon River swept them away. The stars fought from heaven. The stars in their orbits fought against Sisera. The horses hooves hammered the ground and galloped. It's that sound of the enemies of God coming, or sorry, the armies of God coming against the armies of the enemy. Just like in the other story. I can feel that desire arise in my spirit to utterly defeat the enemy. Yes, God's given me victories. Yes, God's healed me. Yes, God's touched my family. He's touched my people. But there's more. There's more. And I feel that in me today arising. That as a mother, I proclaim the word of the Lord to you, to Rag, to every situation, to everything that you're facing, that God, let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. He is for you. He is with you. He is waiting for you to arise. I come against the lie of weariness. Weariness is tell you there's no need to get up. It's never going to change. You've tried this before. Weariness tells you, you don't have it in you. You don't have the fight in you. It's only going to backfire. But weariness is only defeated by arising. It's only defeated by just getting up and going after it again. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. Don't just hear the word today, the call to arise, and immediately decide it's too much work. Because God's going to meet you. God's going to fight for you. I'm here today as a mother in the church to call you to arise. We have enemies. We have remnants that are still facing us. We have real battles that are facing us. We have desperate situations. We have every myriad of thing that you can imagine in this congregation today. But we are called to the kingdom for such a time as this. We really are. That's not just a cliche thing that people say, but this is truth from the Word of God. We call to the prodigals, as you guys always do, to come home. Arise from your pig pen. Come home. He's waiting. He's looking. He's ready to run and meet you. We're going to open our eyes. I pray. I'm going to pray for you in just a second. I'm about to close. But I want you to have spiritual eyes that are open. Today. I want to have spiritual eyes that are open today because it's imperative today that we arise and move from the stuck places that we've been into a new place. And God will meet us there and he'll scatter our enemies.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.